Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. The dog ate my homework. This familiar phrase was one of the most classic examples of avoiding responsibility for a stupid action. But it points to a very human trait that gets the better of all of us at one point or another. There are various ways of describing it. There's a phrase that originated in Chinese culture that we now take for granted in English, saving face. When we take actions to save face, it's often called cutting off one's nose to spite one's face or shooting oneself in the foot. The basic idea is that we, as human beings, will do almost anything to avoid admitting that we were wrong. One of the greatest examples of this happening in my own family is a story my father tells of a vacation his Uncle Frank, Aunt Ruth, and cousins James and Donald took. They all grew up in Atlanta, and the big trip to Florida was planned with much excitement. It's a fairly straight shoot from Atlanta to Florida, pretty much due south. Uncle Frank would not admit he was going the wrong way until they crossed the Alabama border. There are many famous examples as well, such as contractors building a bridge across a bay that does not end up meeting in the middle, then saying their calculations were only slightly off. We have the conspiracy theorists who believe in the third man on the grassy knoll in the JFK assassination and that 9/11 was an inside job. There are actually scientific studies that show that when people are given contradictory empirical evidence that controverts a strongly held belief, they believe in their own disproven theory even more strongly. Facts really have nothing to do with it when you might have to admit you were wrong. This is me carefully not mentioning anyone or anything specific currently on the political scene. Probably the worst example of this phenomenon of having to be right, no matter what, is the Darwin Awards. For those of you who are not familiar with the Darwin Awards, they are a tongue-in-cheek award given to someone who meets his demise due to his own catastrophically stupid actions. The idea is to give the person an award for removing his DNA from the gene pool and thus avoiding passing on the stupidity, hence the title, the Darwin Award. Well, there's a particularly unfortunate one that is the clearest illustration of human beings not being able to be shown up or admit they are wrong. According to the Darwin Awards website, which goes to some lengths to verify their stories, Polish farmer Krzysztof Azinski staked a strong claim to being Europe's most macho man in 1995. Azinski, 30, had been drinking with friends when it was suggested they strip naked and play some men's games. Initially, they hit each other over the head with frozen turnips. But then one man upped the ante by seizing a chainsaw and cutting off the end of his foot. Not to be outdone, Azinski grabbed the saw and shouting, "Watch this!" he swung at his own head and chopped it off. He won the contest, but at that point, it really didn't matter. Again, this is me carefully not mentioning anything or anyone specific in national politics right now. Hopefully, none of us are committed to being right. But everyone gets caught doing or saying something phenomenally stupid at one time or another, and that's when the excuses come out. And the deliverer of the finest example of the dog ate my homework defense is right here in our scripture from Exodus today, Aaron, Moses' brother. Aaron has really screwed up, big time. Moses has been up on the mountain with God, getting the Ten Commandments. They've just survived all manner of hardships and calamities in the desert, and all Aaron has to do is hold things together for a short time while Moses confers with God. Well, It doesn't work out too well. And when Moses comes down and sees the disaster of the golden calf, Aaron presents a classic defense, which appears just a few verses after our passage today. Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord burn hot. You know the people, that they are bent on evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who shall go before us.' As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So I said to them, 'Whoever has gold, take it off.' And they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf." I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. I don't know what happens. Don't look at me. It's just so stupid. Really, Aaron? You just threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. The entire nation of Israel has forsaken the God of their ancestors. And shucks, that's a real shame, but you just can't be held responsible. Fact of the matter is, there are few things more painful to our fragile self-image than having to admit we were wrong. But no matter how awful it is, we have to take an honest look at ourselves and ask, is there an area or a situation in my life where it's time for me to admit that I've taken the wrong path? Maybe it's time to admit that, yeah, the alcohol use has been edging into abuse for some time now. Or maybe it's time to eat humble pie with a relative and say, "Hey, I don't even remember why we're fighting anymore, but I miss you, and I'm sorry, and I love you." Maybe it's time to admit that, yeah, maybe giving up all that time with my family for the promotion at work was a mistake. Maybe that's a big part of why my marriage ended. And we need to admit we're wrong sometimes at the community level. The Episcopal Church is in the very first baby steps of grappling with our complicity with and enforcement of white supremacy. We are a church built on and sustained by the wealth stolen from the lives and labor of enslaved people. Those of us who are white are called to repent and be changed. Those of us who are Black, Latino, Indigenous, from other oppressed communities are called to diligent self-care in the midst of an ever more volatile environment. When we come together as the body of Christ, we have the opportunity to follow the leadership of wise people of color, like our own bishop and our presiding bishop, as we seek new ways of working toward redemption. Where is it hardest to admit we were wrong? What's our worst golden calf? Is it the U.S. Constitution? Is it the Book of Common Prayer? What's my worst golden calf? Is it this collar I wear? The letters after my name, or the title before it? When I really sit down and look at it, I see a whole herd of golden calves in my life. From the big institutional things, all the way down to not wanting to admit, I definitely made a rolling stop at that intersection and 100% deserved the ticket I got, all $147 of it. Is it going to take me crossing the Alabama border to admit I was wrong? Or could I turn around and actually get where I want to go? Because admitting we were wrong is the only way we will have the chance for a fresh start. It's one of the most basic things Jesus taught us to do, to ask forgiveness for our sins. But we all know the injury that hurts the worst and takes the longest to heal is hurt pride. How can we gain the strength to admit we were wrong? We're given a remarkable example in our scripture today. God is so angry with the Israelites and plans to destroy them with a burning hot wrath. But Moses pleads for them and begs God to turn away the wrath. And God changes God's mind. It says right there in the scripture, Exodus 32:14, "And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster he planned to bring on his people." If there were ever anyone who spent most of the time being right, and would shock everyone for admitting being wrong, it would be God. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, the Alpha and the Omega. Isn't everything planned out and known by God from before time, down to the tiniest bounce of one molecule off another? Apparently not. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he had planned to bring on his people, our scripture says. Rather than a frightening destabilization of the sovereignty of God, I take this as one more example of the overwhelming love of God for God's people. God just doesn't care what has to happen so that we are taken care of. It doesn't matter who has made stupid mistakes or who has been backed into a corner. God will change everything and do anything to care for us. And perhaps God says in scripture, you know what? I was wrong. So that by following God's example, we frail humans have half a chance of doing the same. And if we can learn to admit we are wrong, like God, maybe there's some chance of us learning to love like God. We as a nation are approaching an election trapped in a trinity of tragedies: the coronavirus, the economic downturn, and the plague of systemic racism that has been in the DNA of this nation since its founding. We are a lot like the Israelites at the foot of that mountain in Exodus. God seems far away and inscrutable at times. We can't seem to agree on what kind of leadership we need. It would be so nice to have some quick answers. It would be so nice to buy some security with a quick fix that we know will only draw us deeper into sin. I get the golden calf. I understand the drive to create it and give allegiance to it. And I know to my shame that I worship it every day in one form or another. At the heart of all our tragedies we grapple with as a community is idolatry, a giving of false authority and worth to things that are lesser than God. Leadership and democracy and the prayer book and the Episcopal Church are all good and worthy means of seeking to live together in harmony. But none of them, not leadership and democracy, not the prayer book and the church, none of them are God. And none of them create beloved community if God is not at the core of our life together. As teacher Jim Finley says, we are created so that nothing less than infinite union with infinite love will fulfill us. Nothing less will do. We can keep casting our golden calves as long as our outrage and our money hold out. Or we could turn around. We could admit we were wrong and repent. Be forgiven. Heal and move forward together. We could admit we were wrong and join God. And that place of reckoning and liberation is the first step on the road to the promised land. Amen.